Let's talk about light today. We looked last week at the Beatitudes, those things that will make us truly happy, not just superficially happy. And we're opening up into Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as we think about light, and we think about letting our light shine, we need to realize that the most amazing things about light are the same things that God expects of us. As we look at this, we need to remember, we often apply this section of Scripture to those of us who are Christians. And that's perfectly all right. Jesus certainly wouldn't disagree with us doing that. But we have to remember that these things were spoken even to people who weren't yet Christians. Of course, there were no Christians yet. Jesus hadn't died. The church hadn't been established. But these are people, perhaps they had heard some of the teaching of John and had been pointed toward Jesus. Perhaps they'd seen some of his miracles. Perhaps they'd heard some of his teachings here and there before. But they were following him. And this sermon that he preaches is to those who felt enough of a compulsion within their own souls to come and follow him and listen to him. So even though they weren't Christians as such, they were those that were following Jesus, that were disciples of Jesus, we could say. They were learning from Jesus. They were interested enough that they were coming and hearing him preach and teach. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of light. We have flashlights. We have candles. We have many different kinds of light bulbs. Light bulbs come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes, and they do all sorts of different things. In fact, if we notice here, there are several things here. We've got the sun, of course, the brightest light of all to us. That's it up in the sky every day, sometimes hidden by the clouds, but it's still up there and we know it is. Fire, something like a glow-in-the-dark exit sign to let you know how to get out of there. And of course, a candle and a lamp. Fluorescence and regular incandescent bulbs. Traffic lights and flashlights. And the moon, which in many ways is different than all these others because it doesn't produce light on its own, but only reflects the light of the sun, which in some ways is more like us than the others because they actually produce their own light. We're not actually producing light. We're simply reflecting in our lives the light of the light, Jesus Christ. And that's when he says to us, "You're the light of the world." We're reflecting him. And we have to continue doing that. And of course, a lighthouse. Now, each of these lights is important in its own way. And each one does subtly different things, doesn't it? The sun, certainly, without it, there would be no life on this planet. There would be no plants growing to eat and for the animals to eat, and life would die. There would be no warmth for the whole planet, for the most part. We'd freeze to death. It'd be like barren like the moon out there without the sun. Of course, the sun works in connection with our atmosphere and various different things that God has set up in order for us to have life. But it's an important component of that. Fire, of course, is good for cooking things and for keeping you warm on a cold night. I know we had our trunk or treat last weekend, and we got over to Phil and Jones, and they had a campfire set up and burning, and oh, and it was nice to get up there close and warm your hands and toast your marshmallow, and all of those things were fun. But we have to realize that fire can also be a dangerous thing, can it? It can burn you. It can get you into trouble. Of course, the exit sign gives direction, tells you which way to go. The traffic signal and the lighthouse are kind of like that too. They kind of like, hey, this way, or don't come over here, it's dangerous, or stop now. It gives some direction. It gives some advice and some teaching as well. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house." Now you think about this candle that I have sitting up here. Now, of course, we've got all these electric lights, so that candle's hardly even noticeable to you. But if we turned out all these lights And especially if it was night, because we've got some light filtering in through the windows and coming in through the door back there. But if it was dark, that little, that's just a little bitty flame and a little bitty candle, and it seems so insignificant to us. But if it was dark, if we didn't have all of these electric lights around, imagine how much brighter that would seem in the darkness. And we think about all these different types of lights, and they all have some purposes in common. We talked about some of the differences that they have, but let's look at some of the similarities, some of the things that they all do. And we'll just mention these briefly, and then we're going to really delve into light a little bit more deeply as we go through this lesson. First of all, light dispels darkness. If you're in total darkness, I don't know, have any of you ever been in the bottom of a cave or a cavern? You ever been down there? Have you ever? Now, they used to do this. I went to Carlsbad Caverns out in New Mexico years ago, and they used to do it. But then I went back with Dawn, and they didn't do it when we went back. But when I was a kid and we went, we got down there in the bottom of that thing. Of course, they've got lights all the way down there. They have to. But we got down there in the bottom of that thing, and they turned off all the lights. And you want to talk about dark. A moonless night is dark, but they're still even out. Far out in the country, even out in the woods, there's still a glimmer of a light from a house far off in the distance, or a star or something. But, oh, this was darkness. So it was so dark that they told you, if you've got a watch that glows, cover it over with your hand, because that thing will seem bright. And it did. Even just the watches that have the little numbers glow and the little hands. And you think, well, you can't even hardly see that. But boy, in that total darkness, it was like a spotlight. Light dispels the darkness, though. It pushes the darkness back. And we're going to touch on that a little bit more later. John 12:46, Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He came to push the darkness of sin and of this world away from us. Light also gives direction. We talked about that a little bit with the exit sign and the lighthouse. John 12:35, Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. When are you more likely to stumble and trip over things and fall? In the broad daylight or on a dark cloud, a moonless night? When are you more likely to stumble and have trouble? Well, it's going to be in the dark. That's one of the difficult things. It's always amazing to me, when you're getting ready to go to bed and the lights are all on and you're going through and you're turning out the lights, heading to bed, and you turn out your bedroom light and you have to feel your way to find the bed. But then later in the middle of the night, you wake up and you can see pretty good. Where's all that light coming from? A while ago it was dark when I cut the light off. But your eyes adjusted to that smaller amount of light that you have coming in through the windows, or if you have a night light or hall light on or something like that. And it adjusts. Your eyes get used to that smaller amount of light when they've been closed and it's been completely dark, and then they open up and just a little bit of light, you can make out some things. And you can see. Light, though, gives direction, because when you do, can you imagine if you shine a bright light in somebody's eyes and then take them into total darkness? They can't see anything. They're running into everything. Light gives us direction. It helps us know where we're going. And light gives life. John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light gives life. We talked about the sun and its life-giving properties. So we want to consider some of these things more closely. Let's consider the privilege of being the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus, of course, is no longer in the world like he was back then in the first century. He was in the world, and he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But then he says to his followers, you're the light of the world as well. You've got to do the same thing I'm doing. I'm being the light of the world, but I'm going to go back home. I'm going back to heaven with my Father. You've got to take over the job. You've got to be the light of the world. In Matthew 5:14a here, he says, you are the light of the world. Now, we may not like to think about that. We might want to shirk our responsibility and say, let somebody else do it. But we can't do that. It's our job. We are ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 tells us. We're here representing Christ. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that we are the light. He says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Children of light are going to walk different than children of darkness. We're going to behave ourselves differently. We're going to talk different, live different, dress different, think different, feel different. We're going to be different if we're the light of the world. You know, light and darkness are very distinct things. You can tell them apart, can't you? When you open your eyes, you can tell whether you're in the light or in the dark. Now, some light is obviously brighter than other light. Some light's kind of dim. Some light doesn't, you know, push the darkness back as far. But you can still tell the difference in light and darkness. And the people out there around us can tell too. They can look at us and they can tell if this person that I'm looking at, not just by physical appearance necessarily, although that at times could play a role, but not just by physical appearance, but by the things we do, by the way we behave, by the way we retaliate or don't retaliate towards somebody else, by the way we tell dirty jokes or don't, by the way we speak, if we're cussing all the time, if we're fighting all the time, if we're fussing and griping and complaining and gossiping and all of those other things that the Bible warns us not to do with our tongues, if we're doing those things all the time, they're going to look at us and say, "Hey, you're just like me. Big deal. I don't want to be any different." But if we are different and we don't do those things, then they'll say, "Hey, there's somebody, that's somebody to look to as an example. Look how they're doing better than I'm doing. I ought to be more like them." Now, not everybody's going to look at it that way. Some people are going, "Oh, you're just a goody two-shoes," and that kind of way. But, of course, primarily we're here to please God, not to please men. But we do want to shine that light on those things. We are to be sons of light, 1 Thessalonians 5:5. "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And yet, sometimes we can get kind of shadowy, can't we? Sometimes in our lives we kind of get out of the light into the shadows a little bit, and we need to be aware of that. It's a great privilege that God has given us to be the light to this dark world. And we need to respect that privilege. We need to thank God for that privilege, but then, of course, with every privilege, there's a responsibility, isn't there? We need to live up to it. Let's talk about the power of the light. Matthew 5:14b, he says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Now you think about that as a light. You can, I could put a box over this and block it so you couldn't see it. But you put a city up on the top of a hill. Do you remember in World War II? I know a lot of you don't remember World War II. But do you remember hearing about in World War II, especially in London, when the Germans were bombing them, the Nazis were sending planes bombing, and they were trying to bomb the cities, weren't they? They didn't want to bomb a farm somewhere or the woods. They wanted to bomb the cities where the people lived. And so they had the rule. Not just a rule, it was a law. You could be arrested. You could be put in jail as a traitor to the country if you didn't have all of your windows blacked out and turn out all of your lights when those bombing raid sirens went off. They didn't want, they even said on occasion someone who lit a cigarette was arrested for it, because they lit that cigarette and the match, the flame of the match, they said the German bomber up there in the sky, hundreds of miles away and up way high, could look and see, that's where I need to go, right over there where that light is, and would target based on that. And so there was to be no lights, because that light would give them away. Now, and that's in a negative way. But in a good way, a city that's up there, you can see it from miles around. I remember when we were in Colorado, when we lived in Denver and then out in the plains for a while. But when we lived in Denver, There was one mountain. It was one of the taller mountains outside the city of Denver, there in the Rockies. And up near the top of that mountain, someone had put, I don't know how big the thing was, it was a gigantic cross in lights. It was lit up. And you could see, now if you were on the other side of the mountain, obviously you couldn't see it, but if you were on the right, on the eastern side of the mountains, you could see that cross up there on the side of those mountains for miles and miles and miles. Because it was up on the hill. Now there were probably lights just as bright as that that were down in the valley, but you couldn't see them because they were down in the valley. It was up on the hill. We need to be like that city set on the hill. That's where the power comes. The power in light is only when it's seen. It has to be turned on. This flashlight is completely useless if I don't turn it on. I walk around in the dark all night, tripping and stumbling over everything with the flashlight in my hand if I don't turn it on. Oh, now I can see where I'm going. We need to be shining, not hidden, not turned off. We are the light of the world. And we need to be seen. And the thing about light is, no matter how dark it is, darkness can never overcome light. You ever think about that? I can take this candle, and I can, no matter how dark it gets, it will never put out that light. Now, we can blow that candle out. We could snuff it out. We could pour some water on it or spray it with a fire extinguisher. We could put that candle out, but darkness will never do it. That candle may burn itself out, but darkness will never put out a light. It just can't. Because light is more powerful than darkness. Light always wins in the battle between light and darkness. Think about that for a minute. Why do you think God chose light and darkness as examples for us? Because we can't be overcome by the darkness as long as we stay in the light. Satan can't win. He cannot defeat us. Oh, he can kill us. He can torture us. But he cannot win. He cannot defeat us as long as we're in the light, as long as we are the light. Now, if we give in to the darkness, Jesus said, if your eye is full of darkness, how great is that darkness? If we give over to the darkness, and a lot of people who at one time in their lives were Christians but turned against it became some of the most heinous of criminals. They went so far into the darkness, getting away from the light. But darkness cannot overcome light. Light shines. In fact, the amazing thing about it, we talked about with this candle earlier, the darker it gets, the brighter that light seems. Our light is an armor for us. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Good works, righteous actions, they're like an armor that defend us. We need to have that kind of armor surrounding us. And of course, God's light, even greater than our light, of course, God's light can drive away all darkness. Luke 11:33 through 36 talks about that. Your whole body can be full of light. And light keeps us from stumbling. Now, we think about us being light, but also, you know, the Word of God is a light. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet. It tells us where to go. It helps us know where to walk, so that we don't get into trouble. John 11:9 through 10. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So he tells us, you get that light. Use that light so you can see where you're going, so you don't stumble. We want to talk about the projection of the light. It is important for us to project the light. Matthew 5:15 says, they do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but up on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You ever had the power go out at night? And you break out the candles or the lamps or the lanterns or whatever you use when that power goes out and it's dark? Where do you put it? You put it up in the cupboard and shut the door? That wouldn't do you much good, would it? You stick it down underneath the dining room table? Well, that's not going to do much good, is it? You're going to put it up on top of the table in the middle of the room, or maybe, and this is the way they used to do it, in front of a mirror. You put that light right there by that mirror so that it sends out the light and then it reflects off the mirror and or some shiny surface. A lot of the old lamps would have a round shiny surface right behind them to reflect that light. You put the lamp, you put that globe over it. And you ever notice those glass globes? Have you ever seen the difference? You see, you have that little candle and then you put that glass globe over it and it just seems like it got brighter all of a sudden. There's something about the way the light refracts through that glass that spreads it and scatters it and makes it seem brighter. Why do you do that? You want to project the light. You don't keep it to yourself. What do we do as Christians? Are we just keeping it to ourselves? Shutting ourselves up in the cabinet? We're not giving light to the world like that. We must not hide the light, but share it with others. Acts 13 and verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. What if Paul had decided he was going to just shine real bright, but he was only going to do it in his house? He wasn't going to go on those missionary journeys. He wasn't going to go out and teach others. Where would we all be? You see, we have, all of us, some other people to thank because they shone their lights on us. It may have been parents, it may have been friends, it may have been a spouse, it may have been just some neighbor that told us about the gospel. They shined their light and helped us to see. We've got to share that light. And we can dispel the darkness by our love for one another. John 1 John 2:7 through 11. We can call others out of the darkness just as we've been called, Acts 26:18 tells us. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Isn't that our job? Now see, that's an amazing thing. And you think about it, that's one of the things a fire can do that most other light can't. This flashlight can't do it. This flashlight can shine on things, but it can't turn them into light. But you know, a fire will do that. That was one of our concerns last week. We got a little bit of rain, and so we were able to have that fire. But one of your concerns with a fire is what? That fire may turn the darkness around it into more fire. If it catches other things on fire, it catches the leaves and the trees, and then you got a raging fire, and sometimes it gets out of control. But God wants us to spread like that. Not burning up everything in our wake. Not, that's not what we mean. But He wants us to shine and shine on others and get them shining too. You think about that with candles. I know it's kind of passed by now, but well, back when I was younger, every wedding they had candle lightings. Now they do all sorts of other things, pour sand of different colors in jars and stuff. But it used to always be the candle lighting. And they'd take one candle that was lit, and they'd light all these other candles, right? Well, there we go. We're passing the light from one to the other. We need to be doing the same thing. We need to be passing it on. Then we need to think about the purity of the light. It's important that we consider that. Light and darkness do not mix. You can't mingle the two together. Now, yes, there are going to be shadows where things block the rays of the light. That's true. But the light, if you take that light, we've got some shadows under the pews, and if I take this candle and set it down there or shine this flashlight down there, that shadow disappears. The light pushes it out of the way. The light doesn't just share room with the shadow. Light and darkness don't mix, and we need to realize that. Righteousness and sinfulness don't mix. We need to be light. We need to be righteous. We need to be shining. Romans 13:12-14, we mentioned earlier, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or fulfill its lusts. We need to shine. John 3:19-21 also. We need to be blameless and harmless in the middle of a crooked and perverse world. We need to be so different from the world that there's no confusion, that everybody can see we're different. We can't mix these two ideas together. Philippians 2, 14 through 16, he says, do all things without murmuring and disputing or complaining, some say, or questioning, some say, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Are we in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? Like perhaps no other time in this nation's history we are. We're in the midst of it. What are we doing? Are we hiding? Are we afraid to speak and say what the Bible says and what's right and wrong? Because, well, you know, we might offend somebody or we might get in trouble or this, that, or the other thing. Listen to what he says. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Are we living up to our responsibility as light? Are we shining our light on the wickedness and crookedness and perverseness of this world we live in, or are we just turning away from it? You know, evil loves darkness. When you shine the light on evil, it runs and hides and scurries into the dark corners like a bunch of cockroaches. We need to be the light that shines on the darkness of this world. Then we want to think about the praise for the light. You know, sometimes we get confused because we think that because we're reflecting Christ's light, because, well, look at me. I'm so bright and shining and I'm a light and I should get the praise and glory for it. And Jesus says, oh, no. Absolutely not. That is not at all what's supposed to happen. When we think about the praise for the light, Matthew 5:16. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's where the glory goes. Not to us. Not to praise us or honor us or lift us up in some way. No. The praise and glory goes to God. We are to proclaim praise for God. 1 Peter 2:9-10, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, if I'm a shining light in this world, it's not because I'm so special, it's because the One who lit me is so special. And again, that's one of the wonderful things about the moon. The moon constantly reminds us that the sun is shining somewhere. Now, it may be dark here where we are, and it may be nighttime, but we look up there and see that moon, it reminds us the sun's out there. And that's what it ought to be for us. Not to draw attention to ourselves, but to remind everyone the sun, S-O-N, is out there. And we're reflecting His light. We are to be able to share the glory of God, 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us. It's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's glory came in the person of Jesus Christ, and it shone on our hearts. Are we going to reflect it or not? That's our choice. You know, all these lights that we've talked about, they're different styles, different shapes, different sizes. They have different uses, but they do have some of the same purpose: to dispel darkness, to point in the right direction, to give direction and meaning. And that's what we're here to do. All of us, we're different. We're so very different. We have different looks, different personalities, different talents, different interests, different opinions, as we found out in a Revelation class. Even family sometimes disagrees about things. I mean, there's all sorts of different things. We're different. But that's okay, isn't it? Isn't it good that we have those differences? What if every light in this world was exactly the same? Well, then what would we do? We wouldn't be able to tell a red light from a green light. We wouldn't be able to tell the difference in a lighthouse and a candle. The pilots wouldn't know the difference in the runway lights where they're supposed to land and the street lights on the side of the highway if every light was exactly the same. But you see lights come in different colors and sizes and shapes and have different meanings. You know, we see the difference. We see the difference when we're driving down the road, don't we? And we see lights flashing behind us. If they're red lights, we say, uh-oh, we better get out of the way. Fire truck or ambulance, something's coming. But if we see blue lights flashing behind us, we say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Well, they mean something different to us. And it's good that they have those differences. But they all serve their purpose. We need to understand that being a light is a great privilege. It means having power. It carries a responsibility to project your light, and it demands that we be pure, and it brings praise to God. And if you're not a child of God, you can't be light. And if you're not light, guess what? There's only two things, light and darkness. If you're not light, you're darkness. But I want us to think about one final thing. Just for 1 minute, take a look at what happens if all of us will just do what we're supposed to do and recognize the privilege of projecting the light of Christ with His power and purity, so that our Heavenly Father receives the praise. Just like this screen, the whole world will get brighter. And it'll get so bright, if we continue to spread His light, eventually there'll be nothing but light. And there'd be no darkness. Ultimately, that's where we're headed. Maybe not in this world, because there will always be those in this world who will love the darkness. But ultimately in heaven, we'll be in the light. There will be no night there. What a wonderful thing to think about. If you're here and you have a need to respond to God's invitation for you to become light, or perhaps you've been a light, but maybe your flame has been flickering. Maybe it's been about to go out. Maybe you're afraid that it's going to die out. Maybe you need to rekindle that flame before it does go out. But even if your flame has gone out, you know, it's an amazing thing. If we've fallen away, if we've joined the darkness, the amazing thing is we can be relit and we can shine again and we can be what God intended us to be. If you need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing.